Now, it would seem logical that we would move on to the various categories now that we find in these passages. After all, the apostle does mention here husbands, wives, children, servants, masters, as you go on into chapter 6. And my motive, of course, is to help families know God's blessing. It is to encourage and help those that are living for the Lord in their homes. But I have to confess that I also have a concern for the Lord's church, because the greatest thing that can happen to a Christian church is when God's people begin to live for God at home.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're bringing to you today part two of the message on living in the home while living in the Spirit. I trust that this word will help you in your marriage, help you in your family. And as a pastor, of course, as I said in the intro, the burden is that we need people in our churches who are living for God in their homes. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 is that well-known passage where we have instructions given to husbands and wives, but they can only be carried out in the Spirit, and that's why Paul prefaced these commands by saying, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your own wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I trust you'll stay tuned with us as we turn now to the message on Ephesians 5, living in the Spirit while living in our homes.
Now, to understand this more thoroughly, we need to consider that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to give control. And therein, it's the opposite to the person who's drunk with wine. Liquor, alcohol, it robs a man of control. That's why we continually hear advertised, "Don't drink and drive." And the argument is, how much can you handle? And the person drinking, he says, "Oh, I can handle it." And the road accidents and the tragedies on the road tell us people shouldn't drink and drive. Why? Because alcohol doesn't add to you. It takes away self-control, takes away your judgment, takes away your ability to concentrate and focus and react to situations. And you do things you shouldn't do. When you in the company of a drunken man, it's nasty. It's nasty. The drunken man always feels bigger in his own eyes. That's why he wants to fight. A drunken man will want to fight because he feels bigger than he really is. He's obnoxious. He's a boaster. He wants to tell people how important he is. And of course we say, well, that's just the alcohol talking. But of course that's the influence of the wine upon a man's heart. Now what the apostle is saying here is that the Holy Spirit does the exact opposite. The Holy Spirit does not lead a man or woman out of control, does not cause men to lose judgment or into confusion. It does not cause people to feel that they're proud and bigger than they really are. The Holy Spirit works humility. It takes away self-confidence and places our confidence in the Lord. And it works grace in the life of the Christian. Now you would say, "Preacher, can you prove that? Can you show me an incident where the Holy Spirit enabled and empowered men to live more in control. Yes. Think of Pentecost. Think of after that time when the Holy Spirit came down and filled those men, and they were able to evangelize, and they preached the gospel with languages to various nations and dialects of people. What did they say about them? You read this in Acts 2. They said, these men are full of new wine. They looked at those evangelists and apostles and they said, something's happened to these men. But they weren't out of control. What they had was a new boldness. Timidity was gone, and they had a new boldness, but they weren't out of control. And instead of a loss of capability, they had a new capability to speak in the languages of the people and to proclaim and preach the gospel unto them. Wife, what kind of a husband do you want to be married to? A man that is out of control, or a man who is filled with the Spirit and is in control? He's in control of his thoughts. He can say no to temptation. He can make a covenant with his eyes and turn away from those things that are sinful and adulterous. A man who's in control is able to fight temptation by the Spirit of God. A man is in control when he comes into a difficult situation. He doesn't just blow up. How many women live with that? If I tell my husband I'm going to get killed, he'll be so mad. How would you live with that? Now, we men can be moody. You're not married to a perfect man. And we can be moody, and we can get depressed and discouraged. And we can have good days and bad days. But there will be in the heart of a godly man, if he is praying and pleading the help of the Holy Spirit, there will be victory. Oh, that's the answer. Victory over the moods, the depressions, the problems. And oh, to be married to a man whose heart is filled with the Spirit. And when he comes to a problem and a situation, he's bringing wisdom and he's bringing control. And he's going to work it out, and he's going to be helpful to the situation, not make it worse. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. After all, the Holy Spirit's work is to purify, to sanctify, to guide, and to teach. And when the Holy Spirit is filling a man or woman, they're going to have that teachable spirit, that guided spirit. And of course, they're going to know more of Christ, more of Jesus in their hearts and lives. A Spirit-filled man will bring more of the Lord into the home. We learned last week that a Christian home is not made up of the furnishings and the things and the walls and so on. It's the people that live in the home that make it a Christian home. And the more that a man is walking and living in the Spirit, the more we can say that is a Christian home, because they are living in the power of the Spirit of God. So much of the defeat that comes into marriages and families is very often because the Spirit of God has been grieved. And that does happen. When there's conflict, arguments, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And we read in Ephesians 4, in fact, Paul deals with all this in advance before he gets to this subject on the practical level, chapter 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I assure you, it's not going to help your marriage if you grieve the Holy Spirit. He'll be driven out and leave you to your own devices. And that becomes a problem. And then after that, you try to patch things up without the Spirit of the Lord. And you might apply the rules and you might say, well, we need counsel and we need help. And you get that on a human level. But it doesn't work because you've grieved the Spirit of God, and His help and His blessing is greatly lost. And of course, it leads to all the roller coaster living that many Christian families go through, rather having that steadfast, onward, godly walk. See, a walk is a constant, steadfast, consistent life. That's the work of the Spirit. And we're told to walk in the Spirit, not way up there once and way down the next day. Living, be filled, be constantly, be continually filled with the Spirit. When you get up in the morning, pray for it. When you close the day, thank God for giving you the Spirit. Don't grieve Him by not acknowledging the Spirit's help. Praise Him. Live in the Spirit, enjoying His power within your own soul. Then as we move down to verse 19, you'll see something of the outflow of being filled with the Spirit. And I'll point out something here for Bible students. I'll point out that the verse 18 ends with a semicolon. And you know what a semicolon is? It is in place of a conjunction word. You don't put in and or but or of or whatever. You just put in a semicolon. The subject's not finished. There's something more to it. And verse 19 begins, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then verse 20, giving thanks. Now think about it. We learned already that these Ephesians, they were living very much from the vine, drinking wine. Their feasts, their family get-togethers were times of reveling. And of course it got out of hand. And it was fleshly and carnal and wicked. What's the answer for a Christian home and a Christian gathering? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. It doesn't mean your home will not be a place of song. It doesn't mean it's shut down and you do nothing. It's going to be the happiest home in the neighborhood. Not through revelry, but through rejoicing, through thanksgiving, through the songbook, through giving praise to God. Living in the Spirit leads to praise, leads to rejoicing. It's a full life. It's not a life of emptiness and flatness. It's a life that's full. It's a life that overflows. And the expression of an overflowing life is the song that you sing. And the Lord puts a new song in your heart. And He wants you to live in the Spirit, to have a happy life, a happy home, and to live in the power and the blessing of the Lord. And you'll notice making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Lord will be there in your own awareness. You will invite the Lord to your table. You will invite the Lord to your feasts and festivities and parties and gatherings, family gatherings, whether it's that birthday occasion or some other occasion. You invite the Lord to come. And instead of the old songs of the flesh, it's going to be the new song of the gospel and of the Spirit. And that makes a Christian home. That's the difference between an ungodly home and a Christian home. The singing, the praises that are expressed in that home. I have a whole lot of notes here about humanism and existentialism and so on, where people try out different things to try and be happy, and they make an experiment of everything. Never let me hear you say, I want to experiment with sin. Never. That should never even cross the mind of a Christian. But that's what humanism is. Everything in life's an experiment. There's nothing right and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing good and there's nothing evil. That's the spirit of humanism. If I enjoy it, I'm going to do it. And I'll experiment till I get the thing that makes me happier than anything else. And it's all a recipe for disaster. A Christian, a child of God, your life is not an experiment. Your life is to experience Christ. And if you're not interested in experiencing Christ, don't call yourself a Christian. And don't call your home a Christian home. A Christian wants to have more of Christ in church, in home, in heart, that we may walk with God. A thankful heart. And so on. Next one, verse 21. We'll move on just a little further here to this matter of submitting. Submitting to yourselves, one to another, in the fear of God. What a miracle that is. My husband, oh, he'll never submit. Not a hope. My wife, not a chance. She'll never submit to anything unless she sees it as her own way. That's the carnal person, isn't it? And there are people in the world today, they are totally unsubmissive. And if you said they were to do something, they'd want to do the opposite. And sometimes the way to have psychologically deal with them is you tell them the opposite to you want them to do till you get them to do the thing you want them to do. They're just awkward people. They're just what we would call, in my language, thran, thick. If there's an awkward way of doing something, they'll do it the awkward way. No submission, no team effort. If you got them on the team, you couldn't function. They would want their own way all the time. Now, you'll see, and again, I'll point out, verse 20 ends with a semicolon too. This is all the outflow of being filled with the Spirit. It leads to submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, did the Lord Jesus not teach this? Did he not wash his disciples' feet and teach them to love one another? Did he not call them to this very life of taking up the cross, denying self, getting rid of pride, and living for yourself as number one? And you know, I know, conflicts in the home, they arise. Little wars in the home arise because one person wants their way. And if they don't get their way, they'll never be happy. And they'll make trouble. And it becomes a battle. And in reality, that's what's happening in the bigger scale in the whole world. Nation against nation. ISIS, what do they want? They want their own way. And if they don't get it by natural political means, they'll do it by the bomb and the bullet. That's the whole spirit of war. And for centuries, man has fought man and gone to war because he wants his own way. And that spirit, that pride, that carnal attitude, when it's in the home, you can't have a happy home. You can't make it a godly home because there's no submission. But here's God's answer. Submitting yourselves. Why? How? Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God will not make you proud. The Spirit of God will make you smaller in your own eyes. The Spirit of God will make you to see that you're a nobody. Now, it doesn't take away self-respect and it doesn't take away our purpose in life. He doesn't undo what we are in Christ. But when it comes to the flesh and the carnal ideas and desires, the Holy Spirit truly comes to change us. Now, don't miss something at the end of verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. Is it because I fear my wife I submit to her? Is she to submit to me because she fears me? No. Notice this. Don't miss this now. Because if you miss this, there's going to be trouble. If you miss this point, it'll be a recipe for problems. We're not submitting simply one to another, but we're doing it in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. And he gives us a reverence to put the Lord first, to please him. That's what a spiritual man or woman does. The first question that's going to come when you are deciding or doing something, will this please the Lord? And as you work out something with your family, you'll be asking, that will be the very hinge question, will this please the Lord? If the answer is no, then we're not going to do it. And it doesn't matter how many want to do it. If it doesn't please the Lord, we ought not to do it. Now, we all have a problem with this whole thing about fearing God. After all, we're not in a religion of fear, are we? We're in a religion of grace, of liberty. The gospel brings freedom to us. It brings liberty to us. And so what is this whole matter of doing things in the fear of God? Well, we don't want to be seen as unthankful because we love the Lord for what he's done for us. And he's done so much for us. We don't want to be an unthankful people and wanting our own way, showing our unthankfulness. We might want to make sure that we truly please the Lord in our desires and attitudes. And then, of course, you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to have the Lord depart from you and leave you for a time. And so you submit in the fear of the Lord because you want to do what's right. You want to do what's pleasing to God, that you might continually have the help of the Holy Spirit. And then there's another area, and I have to say I got some help in this from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his sermons on Ephesians, and that is we don't want to lose our rewards. Christians will not lose their salvation, but you can lose your rewards. And you look at 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about being saved so as by fire. And unless you're building on the right foundation and doing other things, then all those things will be burned up. And you will be saved just as by fire. In other words, your soul will be saved, but there won't be a reward. And the word rewards in that passage, 1 Corinthians 3. Now, Christian, what would be the point in living the Christian life if we lose our rewards? And we lose the well-done, good and faithful servant of the Lord. Every day, as we live for Christ in our home, God rewards us. He rewards us in external ways, present ways, but one day in glory when we meet God, there will be eternal rewards for Christian living. And of course, we're going to have that incorruptible crown, and we're going to lay that crown at Jesus' feet and give him all the glory. But if you're not living in the Spirit, walking in the fear of God, submitting yourselves one to another, why would any woman want to submit to a man? Why? Because it's God's will, and God will reward her for it. Why would any man want to submit to a woman? Because if she's your wife, God has commanded you to walk together in the fear of God. And you're going to stand on that great eternal day and give account of how you've lived and of how you've walked. And then there's one thing I must close with, and that is, or sorry, I must preach before I close, just in case you think I'm closing. Lest our prayers be hindered. You know in 1 Peter 3 where the woman whose husband is unsaved, living in a very difficult arrangement, she is to do all that she can that she might win her husband to Christ. And she is to be in submission to him. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. How many homes where prayer is lost because of conflict and problems? The Spirit of God is grieved, and those prayers go up to God, they're empty, and God will not answer them and hear the prayers of God's people. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you something. Have you ever prayed for the Holy Spirit to fill you? I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not charismatic. I'm not some weird Presbyterian. The Bible, Ephesians 5:18, teaches us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Christian, when's the last time you prayed to be filled with the Spirit? And all the more as you might face some problem and difficulty, you would pray, Lord, don't let me do this in the flesh. Don't let me do this with a carnal mind. Fill me with your Spirit. Teach me the way to go. Empower me. Give me the patience and the grace that I'm going to need. That's how the Christian prays. Oh, that every one of us would have the infilling of the Spirit. What a difference it will make in our hearts and our homes as we seek to live for God. And so I trust today that you will see the liberty that this brings. It liberates. It doesn't add bondage. It doesn't add rules and regulations. It brings liberty. And I trust, Father and husband, you're set free from the sense of failure, that there's a helper to help you. And wife and mother, that you're not crushed by another layer of rules to follow, but that you are pointed to the one who can give you that inner power and inner peace which the Lord gives to his people. I trust you will enjoy that today and each day.
Well, thank you for joining with us on the program, and I hope that these pointers have been a help to you and will be a help to you as you seek to live in a happy home, a godly home, a Christ-focused home. And it all boils down to submission. And this has to be the power of the Holy Spirit working in us so that we are willing to submit one to another. If we want to be lords and tyrants, bullies, there'll never be peace in our homes. There'll never be peace in our hearts. And our children will be raised under some kind of tyranny, apart from the wonderful experience of the deep, deep love of the Savior. And that's what happens when we are filled with the Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the power of the Holy Ghost to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, so that we are changed from carnality, from pride, to purity, and to simple submission, and a desire to serve one another. Now, I think it's really important, and I hope I emphasized it enough in the message, and that is that we're to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And that is to put the Lord first. The fear of the Lord must rule us. Now, this is not a slave's fear. It's not the fear of some tyrant, but it is that reverential fear of our loving Heavenly Father being grieved with us. We fear to turn away his smile and cause him to frown upon us. We fear that our walk brings some hindrance to our fellowship with God. And it is that desire to please God in our daily walk and in our homes and relationships that will bring blessedness and great joy into our hearts and to our homes. And so I bring to you the question then, do you daily pray for the Holy Spirit? Now, I've emphasized that this is not something that we leave to Pentecostals and Charismatics. This is something that every Bible-believing, God-fearing Christian should really be praying about. We should be personally asking that we are filled with the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes down to breathe into our hearts and to give us the power which is promised in the gospel. Because our religion is not meat and drink, but it is a gospel of power and of righteousness, right living, and the power to live aright. And there's no better place to start, no more important place to start than in our own homes. And so I would exhort you at the beginning of this new year to sit down with your wife, open the Bible here, Ephesians 5, read it together, and say, honey, let's live for God. Let's seek his help and power as we live for him. And I believe God will honor that, help you to do it, and your life will be blessed indeed. That's my prayer. May God in grace work it in your heart. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.